Of the reading of God's word and open to Isaiah chapter 12. And as we would read, the children from kindergarten through sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church. So Isaiah chapter 12, we will read all six verses this morning of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah writes this, Isaiah 12. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger has turned, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. May the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. And thank you to Isabel and Michelle for leading us in worship this morning. It's good to reflect on the coming of our King, Emmanuel, God with us, and to worship him and to speak his name this morning through worship and praise. So this morning we start a series in regarding Advent in this Advent season, and we're entitling it Joy in Advent, or Advent of Joy. And so we're going to focus on joy throughout, even though we'll look at hope and peace. The third candle, the pink one, is joy. The fourth one is love. We're going to look at all of those at the beginning of every service, but we're going to focus specifically during this Advent season on joy. And today, we want to speak and talk about joy in God's presence from Isaiah chapter 12. I know you're all excited because there are 24 days until Christmas. Woohoo! Okay, some of you are really excited. Others of you are like, oh, 24 days until Christmas. Now, when I was a child, it was 24 days until Christmas. Woohoo! And I was so excited because we would get the Youngstown Vindicator where I grew up outside of Youngstown, Ohio. The newspaper was the Youngstown Vindicator. And up in the top corner every day in the paper was how many days until Christmas was the countdown. And so I always loved to get the paper when it came because even though I knew from the day before, I could see the yesterday's paper how many days. There was something about seeing, oh, it's down to 11 or it's down to 7, whatever it is, because I could not wait for Christmas. Because on that day, on the day Christmas, I knew there would be gifts under the tree. I knew there would be extra special food to eat. I knew there would be time, special time with my family. I knew my grandparents would come at the end of the day to see all the gifts that we had gotten and to share a special meal together. I knew that it was also Jesus' birthday, and we had an opportunity to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It was a joyful day. And so I counted down in excitement and in joy for December the 25th. But you know, it wasn't only the day, Christmas Day, December 25th. It was the whole month that was full of joy, wasn't it? Because there was the joy in the pre-Christmas family gatherings. There was the joy in the school parties. There was the joy in making and eating Christmas cookies. There was the joy in carols being played and sung. There was the joy in the yearly Christmas program for the children that I always participated in. And that was just the tip of the iceberg. The whole month was a month of joy. It wasn't just the day itself. It was all of the days leading up to it. You see, the joy of celebrating Advent is not just about one day. Now, the culmination and the fullness of the joy of celebrating Christmas is on Jesus' birthday that we set aside and that we honor, and we just set that day apart on December 25th to acknowledge it. But the joy is to be experienced each day leading up to it. And that's the purpose of why we light these Advent candles, why we focus our hearts during this time, is that we would be people who are experiencing each day leading up to the celebration of the birth of Christ, the joy of his coming. Now, in our passage this morning in Isaiah chapter 12, it speaks to us about the joy of living in God's presence, the fullness of joy in God's presence. It's important to understand chapter 11 if we're going to understand chapter 12 well. Because in chapter 11, we are told and prophesied of one who was going to come. A shoot would come up from the stump of Jesse in verse 1 of chapter 11, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. It's speaking of Jesus, and it speaks of all the character of Jesus in those first several verses, that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, wisdom and understanding will be his, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. It is a description of who Jesus is and who Jesus was to be, the promised Messiah, his character, but also his work. That he would judge and he would bring justice to the earth. And he would bring such a rule of the rule of God that the lion and the lamb would lie down together, that a child would be able to stick his hand into a snake's den or a snake's cove and be not bitten. There was all of this reality of peace on this earth, that everything that was lost in Eden would be restored as the king ruled. In verses 10 and on, how the root of Jesse, Jesus, when he would come and when he would rule, would not just be for Israel, though Israel would be blessed and all of Israel would be gathered back to him and gathered back to their land, but it would be for the whole world. All of the nations would gather. All the nations would flock to the rule of the king. And where there had been division and brokenness, it would be restored. Where Israel had been broken into a northern kingdom, into a southern kingdom, it is prophesied that everyone would be united back and they would be one again. It is the picture of the rule of God here on this earth, the culmination of the rule of the king. And so we need to understand that this is what is being prophesied to understand fully what is happening in Isaiah chapter 12, because it is a picture, it is a declaration of what will be when that day comes, when the full rule of God is here on the earth forever and ever and ever. A day that we know is coming because Jesus promised when he ascended into heaven that he will come back. And when he comes back, he will make all things right. But just like me as a child experiencing the joy leading up to Christmas, we're not just living for that day. We look forward to that day and we long for that day, and that is the culmination when Jesus returns and makes all things right, when he rules and reigns on this earth forever. But every day we have the privilege of living in a taste of the joy of his presence. Because of his birth, because of his life, because of his death, because of his resurrection, because of his ascension, we can experience joy in his presence today as we look forward to the culmination and the fullness of it when he returns. And so, friends, this morning we want to look at the joy of his presence, knowing that there will be the fullness of it and longing for it and understanding what it is to come, but also living in the fullness, living in it today, the joy in God's presence. So let's look together. There are sermon notes in your bulletin. There'll be some extra fill-ins on the screen as we look to find joy in God's presence together while looking forward to it in his fullness. Two main actions that will bring joy in God's presence. And the first action is this: salvation in that day. Salvation in that day. You will notice in verse 1 as well as in verse 4, there is this phrase, in that day you will say. In that day you will say that salvation has come, that God's anger has been turned away. Look at verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away. Isaiah's message to Judah is one of judgment for the unrepentant sins of the people. All throughout, you have done this, you have done this, repent, 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 but they did not repent. And so judgment is coming. The anger of God against the sin, the unrepentant sin of his people, is the message of Isaiah so much in the early parts of the book. But what he is saying here in verse 12 is that in that day when the king rules on this earth, the people will praise the Lord, because at that point, his anger has been turned away. Forgiveness and justice have come through the work of the Messiah. One day, there will be no more sin. There will be no more rebellion. There will be no more need for the holy anger of God, because there will be no more sin. There will be no more rebellion. That is the reason that the anger of God exists, to come against sin and rebellion, because sin will be no more and all those who commit it will be separated from him. You see, when the king remains, his anger will end. We praise the Lord as we look forward to that day. And how many of you long for the day when it is just peace and it's just justice that rules? There is a day that is coming when the king returns and all that is wrong is right, when sin and rebellion are no more, when peace and justice reign on the earth. But praise the Lord that through Jesus, through his work on the cross, we can experience his joy from his anger being turned away today. Do you know that when Jesus went to the cross, and we will come around the communion table together, that when Jesus went to the cross, the anger or the wrath of the Lord against sin was poured out on Jesus on the cross. He paid the price for sin and the anger of God against sin in our lives to be turned away, to be forgiven, that God could be completely just in dealing with our sin, but also be completely loving and forgiving, because Jesus is the one who stands in our place. He was, as the Bible calls him, a sacrifice of atonement, that by his blood being shed on the cross, the anger of God is turned away from all those who repent. Friends, today when we gather around the communion table, it's our opportunity to remember that Jesus is the one who turned the anger of God away, and that by our repentance of sin and belief in Jesus, that what he did on the cross turns the anger of God away from us, we are forgiven. There is new life. We become new creations in him. And so we can celebrate today in the joy of his presence, because God has turned his anger away from us in Christ. It motivates us today to live holy lives because of what Jesus did. Without need for discipline for sin, without anything that we would hold on to before him, that we would live because of the cross, that we would endeavor to live holy lives. So this morning we come and we look forward to the day where there will be no more sin and rebellion in the world, when God's anger will fully be turned away. But we celebrate today as we come to the communion table the fact that the anger of God has been turned away, forgiveness because of Christ. In its place, we see comfort. God's comfort is experienced. When salvation comes, God's anger is turned away and his comfort is experienced. If we read through the rest of verse 1, your anger has turned away. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Judah will praise the Lord as anger is replaced with the comfort of God. And with comfort comes joy in his presence. Think about a disobedient child. A child who knows what they should do, a little one, is warned by their parent, but continues to go down that road of disobedience to their parents. And so the mom or the dad takes that little child, marches them into their room, puts them in the crib, and says, have a timeout, and when I come back, we need to be able to talk through this. And that little child, what do they do? Scream and cry, oh, I don't want to be in here. Oh. Wailing, gnashing of teeth, all of those things. Until the parent hears that child began to calm down. The crying stopped. And that child is able to come to a place of understanding in their young understanding, their young mind, what they have done. And the parent comes in, has a short conversation, understanding that child now knows that what they did was wrong. And the parent takes the child and sits down on that recliner or that glider in the room and begins to rock back and forth as they hold the child close. The child settles into the love and the comfort of their parent. As the parent begins to speak love and reassurance and acceptance and care over their young child. So this is what God is speaking and what Judah is understanding, that there is a day when the anger of God for sin will be turned away, and what will be replaced is the comfort of God. The discipline has been received. It has been brought to a place of repentance, turning away from their sin, so that they receive the comfort of God. In that day, the dwelling of God will be with humanity, and the comfort of God will be experienced in the joy of his presence. And praise the Lord today. Today, as we experience the loving forgiveness of God through Christ on the cross, we also experience the loving comfort of God as he comforts us. As we spend time with him in his word, in prayer, and in worship, he comforts our souls. This is why he came. One day, his anger will be fully turned away. His comfort will be experienced, and we will be brought into God's salvation. Verse 2 says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Isaiah writes that in that day, Judah will praise God for salvation through faith-filled trust. A trust that releases them from the fear of discipline. Judah will realize that the Lord is their strength, is their song, and that he has become their salvation. You see, salvation is not something that they simply get from him. It is something that he is to them. So often we think of God as giving us salvation. But he wants to be so much more than just the one who gives us salvation. He wants to be our salvation. Here's the difference. Imagine a mother hen with her young. And they're running around in the farm, in the barnyard area, and all of a sudden, here comes a storm, a brewing. The clouds are dark, can hear the thunder off in the distance. The rain begins to come down gently. But all of a sudden, here comes the lightning. The thunder is close. The lightning is close. The rain comes down harder and harder and harder. And that mother hen could do one of two things. Could shoo them off as far away from the rain as possible. She would be saving them from the storm while she was over here. Or, this is what a mother hen does. She brings her young underneath her wings and covers them, taking the brunt of the wind and the rain and the lightning and the thunder, protecting them under the shelter of her wings. See, that is a picture of Jesus and what God wants to do. He doesn't just want to save us, send us off, protect us, send us away. He wants to be our shelter. He wants to be our Savior. This is the point that Isaiah is making, that he has become our salvation. Friends, this is why Jesus came. He came not just to send us salvation from the riches of heaven, but he came to be our salvation through the cross, both now and forevermore. One day, salvation will be full. One day, the completion of our salvation will be complete. He will be our salvation. And today, Jesus is our salvation, now and forever. Salvation in that day, lastly, will be abundantly provided. Salvation will be abundantly provided. In that day, you will say, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, Judah will draw water from the wells of salvation with joy. Notice it's not from the well of salvation. It is from the wells, plural, of salvation. It's as if there is a massive water table throughout the entire land. And no matter where you go, no matter where there is need for water, no matter where there is a need to quench your thirst, there is a well there that is drawing from the water that is there. It's not that you have to go to one central place. It is that everywhere throughout the land, everywhere throughout the earth, there is life-giving, abundant salvation. All of the wells, all throughout, are pulling from the same water source, from the same salvation. We can't ignore the fact that Jesus, John chapter 7, on the last and greatest day of the feast, said this: if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. And living water will flow deep within your soul. One day, all of the land will be a land, all of the world will be a place of salvation. Wherever we go, there will be abundant supply. But today, there is abundant supply in Christ. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms are ours in Christ. We do not lack. We receive what we need in Christ by faith. One day, faith is not going to be needed. One day, we're not going to have to trust him in the sense of spiritual outpouring and spiritual blessing, because he will be with us. In that day, the fullness of salvation will be. Friends, doesn't that day, the day when King Jesus returns and makes all things right, doesn't that sound like a glorious day? A day when his anger will fully be turned away, because there is no need for the anger of God, because there is no sin and rebellion on the earth anymore. A day where only his comfort is experienced. A day when we are brought fully into his salvation and he is our salvation fully. And a day when there will only abundance in him. In that day, salvation will be full. But today, we celebrate that Jesus, the one who has come that we might have hope, he has brought salvation so that we might taste of the joy of salvation. On that day as well, there's a second action that takes place, and that is, in that day, worship will take place. Verses 4 through 6. In that day, the nations will exalt God. God will be exalted among the nations. Verse 4, in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. In that day, Judah will give thanks to the Lord. In response to his salvation, they will call upon his name. But it will not be limited to them alone. It will extend to the nations. They will make known to the nations what he has done. They will proclaim to the nations that his name is exalted. The salvation and the worship of God in that day will include all nations, not just Israel, not just Judah. This is the picture that we see in the various throne room pictures of Revelation, Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 5, and Revelation chapter 7. As people gather around the throne in worshiping, it's people from every language, tribe, people, and tongue. There is a day when all nations will be gathered to him, and all nations will worship the King. And that worship and that salvation is coming increasingly as nations are being reached. See, this is the privilege that we have. As you and I have received the salvation of God through Christ, we now have the opportunity to bring the worship of God to the nations by sharing that salvation as we have received it. One day, Judah will be a part of bringing that salvation to the nations. But today, through the church, we have the privilege of bringing salvation, the salvation we have received, to the nations. This Christmas especially, we have the privilege of sharing the hope that we have come to know, the joy that is in his presence through this year's special Alliance year-end offering. This year's theme is joy for all peoples. And we see it right here in this passage, don't we? We see the nations being brought into this worship as they are touched by the salvation of God as well. I want us to take just a few moments to watch a short video explaining this year's year-end offering, Joy for All Peoples.
The essence of the gospel is good news. It's what the word means. It's the good news that we celebrate at Christmas. It's good news of great joy. But for many people, Christmas doesn't feel like a celebration. It feels more like isolation, loneliness, a feeling unseen. But this good news of great joy is not just for a select few. The angels say to the shepherds, it's for all the people. It's interesting that this message gets downloaded from heaven to some commoners in a field, and then the second group are wise men, are foreigners. See, Jesus sees people differently than we do. He sees into every home, into every village, into every country with love. And that's why in the Alliance, we feel compelled not just to receive the gift of joy, but to communicate it, to send it, and to demonstrate it around the world. We have international workers, sent ones, who are right now having gospel conversations and meals in their homes, establishing sustainable communities to make sure that every person, especially those who have never had the opportunity to hear, can experience the life of Jesus that creates this great joy. The theme of this year's Alliance Christmas offering is joy for all people. It's what we do in the Alliance, is communicate this joy all over the world. So as you celebrate this good news, this Christmas, please give generously, give sacrificially, so that we're not just keeping the gift to ourselves, but are extending the presence of Christ all over the world. So thank you for caring, for giving, for praying, and for partnering with King Jesus, who brings joy to all people.
In that day, God will be exalted among the nations. We have the privilege, having received the salvation of God through Christ, to be a part of sharing that joy to the nations, so that all people, all nations will be gathered around the throne, praising and exalting and worshiping the Lord in that day. As you are moving through this Advent season, as the Lord would prompt you to be a part of not just sharing that good news, that joyful outpouring here in our local context, but to the ends of the earth. If you're interested in making a gift to this year-end offering, Joy for All People, just mark on an offering envelope, Joy, and that will go towards that year-end offering so that the nations would have opportunity to know the joy that we have experienced. Worship in that day also will involve singing and shouting aloud to the King, to the Lord. Verses 5 through 6, Isaiah concludes with this: "Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." In that day, can you picture this? In that day, as the King returns, as all that is wrong is made right, that as the salvation of the Lord is declared, the nations, God's people, Israel, gather around and they sing. And they shout for joy to the Lord, and they declare the glorious, wonderful things that he has done. It's amazing that the one that in verse 2, "Surely God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song." The one who has become for us our song is now the one we sing to a song of joy, of worship, of celebration. And it's not something that they, "Great is the Lord, we exalt you, God." It's, "Sing to the Lord, shout aloud for glorious things he has done." I had the privilege of going to a Steeler game several weeks ago. And I'll tell you what, that is not a quiet place. And there doesn't even have to be anything good having just happened. It's just the expectation of something good happening. And the place is going nuts, and the terrible towels are going crazy. And it is loud. Friends, sing for joy. Shout for joy. Tell of the wonderful, glorious things that he has done. Exalt him here and among the nations. See, when we taste the salvation of our God, the response is worship. The response is praise. The response is exaltation. The response is singing. The response is shouting. For he is great and greatly to be praised. And as we worship today because of the salvation that we have received, it really is preparation. It's preparation for when the King returns, and the salvation of God in that day is full and complete. And we will sing. And we will shout. And we will exalt with all the nations that our God has won. We have hope. We have joy, and we celebrate him. There is joy in his presence today, and there will be fullness of joy in that day. So friends, as we gather around the communion table on this first Sunday of Advent, we do it looking two ways. We do it looking back. Looking back and remembering Jesus on the night that he was betrayed took bread and he broke it. And he said to his disciples, "This represents my body that is broken for you." We remember. We look back and we remember the body of Christ nailed to that old rugged cross. And we remember the sin of the world, my sin. Not just everyone else's sin, but my sin laid upon the Savior on the cross. And we remember him nailed there. And the crown of thorns into his head as what I deserved was laid upon him. And we remember that after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this cup represents the new covenant that is in my blood. Without the shedding of blood, the scriptures say there is no forgiveness of sin. And so the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who was declared worthy to be praised, was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. And so we look back and we remember what he has done. But as we eat together and gather around this table, we always also look forward. We look forward to that day. The day when our King comes, when the anger of God is forever turned away, when the comfort of God is experienced fully because he is with us. He is our God, the one who is our salvation, the one who gives us abundant salvation is with us among them, among us. Isaiah closes that passage in verse 6 by saying, praise the Holy One of Israel, who is among us. God is with us. One day we will be with him and he will be with us forever and ever and ever. So we look back and we remember and we look forward to the day when our King comes. We are told in the scriptures that as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we declare the Lord's death until he comes. And when he comes, we will eat with him in the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, you've experienced the salvation of God, we invite you to come. We invite you to eat. We invite you to remember. And we invite you to look forward to the fullness of salvation in that day. Those